Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
You know,
just watch Pride and Prejudice. It's the Bollywood version. It's really fun.
I have seen that, and I also was in a free stage at ISU. Free stage is a group that does like student run plays at our old, some of our old university, and I don't remember exactly how good it was, but it was basically like parodying or using the elements of Jane Austen. But it was they were like acknowledging Jane Austen often, and it was like basically the stereotypes of like rich people, but I think it was poor people masquerading as rich people and trying to gain courtship through that, and it was a bizarre process. I think I was a sophomore or I was second semester freshman, something like that.
Is Jane Austen funny?
Is
it like a very dry, subtle way?
Yeah, so if you are following the logic of her characters, it's fairly witty. Especially the characters that make fun of her main characters. Like the father in Pride and Prejudice is really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all like rich upper class people in the 18th and 19th century.
So,
and then, I'm basing, because I've only read Pride and Prejudice. And
I'm on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah.
And the way it's described makes it sound...
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice. And it makes it sound extremely boring. The book deals with the issues of manners, upbringing, morality, education, and marriage.
Yeah.
You know, because what makes it so hard is like, I've read all of Pride and Prejudice and I really enjoyed it, but it drove me nuts sometimes because there's large portions of the book where all the characters know what each other feels, but they refuse to talk about it for some, like, social reason or something. Like, there's...
So it's kind of like Twilight in that, like, they...
It's exactly like Twilight.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, wrap my brain around
this. So the first, like, two-thirds of the book, you, like, think this one guy's bad. But then, it, like, turns out he's good, and then he proposes to this
money. It's all about money. Like, they only want that person to marry... The mother wants to marry... off the daughter to someone else because that person is the most wealthy, and then there's another rich person there, like a Darcy, I think is the name or something.
But yeah,
like.
Darcy is the richest, and he proposes marriage to Elizabeth, the main character, who, and then she doesn't like him at the time, but he leaves her a letter, and his letter convinces her that everything she thought about him was wrong, and then she's like, oh my god, I think I do love him, and then there's still another third of the book. Where she just doesn't admit it.
I thought the twist at the end was he actually had more money than most people. He didn't. He wasn't supposed.
Spoiler
to.
Alert!
It's a no. He the whole time you know he's
oh, you do?
Way rich. Yeah, his like aunt is noble and stuff.
So was this written about the current time period? Mm-hmm. Like she wrote it about her time.
Her original writing is a response to her Sense and Sensibility is a response to like a type of novel that was really popular at the time called like. Novels of Sensibility. Uh-huh. So that whole novel, and actually all of her novels are really satires on that type of story. But that has outlasted the thing it was satirizing.
Uh-huh.
So we have a very different... And Jane Austen herself wasn't famous in her lifetime. She began to rise to prominence in like the 30s, I want to say. And by like the 60s, I think it's when women started becoming professors, they were looking for female authors that they could champion, and she was one that they you know, got behind. And by like the 60s, she was very widely known. But in her lifetime, she was just a girl that lived at home with her parents until she died in like a country, you know, really provincial area. And her brother, who lived in London, was her agent and published 5 books for her. You know, like barely anyone.
Austen had no idea that it would be possible that Pride and Prejudice and zombies would happen.
No,
I don't feel like she could have predicted that.
Nope.
Yeah, who would have? She wouldn't have thought that her parody would be parodied.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's also Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. Yeah. Is what Tara is saying.
What's Sea Monsters? That sounds cool.
It's like Sense and Sensibility, but I imagine there's Sea Monsters. It's, there. It's not Cthulhu. Tara's saying Cthulhu is not in it. So
well, that's what's the point?
But there could be other sea monsters. I'm looking this
says,
shit up, man.
It's the same as the book, and all of a sudden, an octopus tentacle wraps around her.
Isn't
her man screams?
Isn't Cthulhu like not just ocean based? Isn't he like
no,
space based?
He's like
he's
space
based. He's like dark magic.
Yeah, dark magic based.
You know, it'd be weird.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one of your good friends who has you know like you have like a teddy bear you sleep with, there's things like mm-hmm. that. But they slept with a Cthulhu. Wouldn't that be weird? Like a Cthulhu stuffed animal?
Like a plush one? Like
okay,
a,
I can know, find that right now.
Yeah, these days I'm sure there's tons of kids sleeping
with Cthulhu. There are.
There are? Does anybody in this room ever had a Cthulhu, like a crushed Cthulhu?
I still have a plush Cthulhu. It's in my bed right now.
Just wanted to expose that.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go to sleep with someone, some stuffed animal that's going to protect you in your dreams... The Eater of Souls is probably the most powerful one.
The most evil creature ever imagined.
Shit ton of plush Cthulhu things, man.
Dude, find Hawaiian Fun Cthulhu.
Hawaiian
That's
Fun?
That's my favorite one.
Oh my goodness.
A little bit over a year ago when Octavarius was at C2E2 in 2011, we had a booth there, and a lot of people came over thinking... that we were somehow aligned with Cthulhu.
I think we should start.
And I had to explain
that.
To them that although Cthulhu is rad, Octavarius is different than Cthulhu.
He told them Cthulhu is rad.
We were walking around with the puppet, everyone thought it was
now,
a Cthulhu thing.
Yeah. Just for those, if there are any listeners at home who don't know what Cthulhu is... He's
based off of an H.P. Lovecraft book. Mm-hmm. The Necronomicon, I believe it is, yes?
Originally in a short story, The Call of Cthulhu.
I see.
Yeah, he's like the most evil, like he's like a force of pure evil that's like underneath the ocean.
Yeah, and to look up, to behold him is like you go mad or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like
I can
that.
Just look this up if I really
yeah. Yeah. See that?
Okay. LP's already there.
Now, here's the issue I had. I didn't read any Jane Austen, but I read similar books or books about, you know, class and nobility and, mm-hmm. and all that. And like as a kid, I couldn't connect with anything in a book like that. There was nothing about it. I had no concept of class or money. So I the books were just infuriating that I would have to read because I was just like, why the hell do you care about this stupid shit? There was like nothing in there that I could... And now that I'm older and I understand a little bit more about the world and how societies work and how, you know, power is preserved and passed on to different people and how power is transferred to society, I'm like, oh, okay, now this makes a lot more sense to me. But I feel like a lot of the books you read as children, you're not supposed to really understand, that you can't really understand until you're an adult. Mm-hmm. But we still, like, read these and take tests and write essays and, like, pretend like we can...
You must challenge.
Well, yeah, like we read Great Expectations my freshman year of high school, and I felt the same way. I'm like, this is so boring, I don't care. And like, even though it was like super well written, but like now looking back, I'm like, oh, I want to reread it at some point. Like, I think I would get more out of it.
You know which one I love? I love Count of Monte Cristo because he just gets super rich and then goes on a revenge binge for like 700 pages.
But I get that. I can understand.
Crazy,
you know, when these, I mean, it seems like Jane Austen specifically is like class tensions and like the little snarky, snipey things
like,
you say to people.
It's also,
to,
it seems like it's heavily like roles of women
mm-hmm.
And expectations of women and
to
like,
get married.
And sort of that like selling of women in that like you, mm-hmm. you know, the dowry and there's all this money that comes with marriage and your life is to keep the home and do all those things, so you want to keep a nice home. If you're just going to be stuck in some dude's house like raising children, which is what you're forced into, I want to be in the fucking $1 million house.
One thing that always strikes me about the like that period of books too is that they're not, or not that period of books, that period of like the universe, is that the people in that upper class, they didn't have to do anything. Like, their days were just visiting their friends or writing letters, which took you about 2 hours every day.
A lot of social obligations.
Yeah, and then you'd, like, and everybody, like, every woman had to know how to play an instrument, and they would just basically have jam sessions. They'd have, like, music room time, mm-hmm. and that was part of how you'd attract, you know, husbands and stuff. But it wasn't good to be too good at it, because then it seemed like that was your passion. And then they would just play cards.
I hope there comes a time where, like, all of us have to learn an instrument to individually woo people. Like, that is just the norm.
Bassoon. I call bassoon now.
Can we not double up?
Here's the thing, Makula. If you can actually play bassoon well, which... Few people can, but it's difficult. Get this magical tone out of it, and it's actually such a luxurious instrument.
But like, if you play any instrument, that's immediate opposite sex points. I feel.
What's like the most fuckable instrument other than guitar?
Not the flute.
Horn. Recorder, if you're gonna really
drums.
Saxophone. Yeah, drums.
Drums would totally. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're like a really cool drummer, then like you're set.
Keytar.
Outside
drums
has
always
band,
been a minus
so
with me. I'm not a big fan of drummers.
No, wait, no, like what's that, our guest, D7?
Well, I was saying, I'm not a big fan of drummers. Like,
why not? Drummers rule.
I don't know. They're always drumming. They're always drumming.
They can't help it.
Like, I cannot argue with that.
Any drummer that's good at drumming is always drumming.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What do you... Would you prefer the dude who comes over and is like, oh, is this your roommate's guitar? I'm going to put a little bit on this guitar. And they can't stop playing the
guitar.
Because I think the drumming is more subtle. I think you could do the drumming without drawing attention to yourself.
That's because you drum all the time.
I do. That's why I'm partial towards
you. You draw the attention.
But you can't, but not always. I can do it without you noticing. If you start strumming on a guitar.
Sometimes you just don't comment on it.
There's no ignoring a guitar. It's impossible to ignore.
I can see you thudding on the things and your legs. I'm like, oh, look at him thudding away over there.
But I couldn't, there's no chance I'm going to break a string.
No.
There's no chance. I mean, there's not, because then you fuck things up.
D7, do you play any
instruments? You
can break
your drums.
Not well.
Not when they're your fingers and your legs.
I've tried a handful.
I might go out on a limb and say that a guy who's like really good at piano could be really, really sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not really that far out on a limb, really.
What if you...
Get off that limb.
Yeah. I'm off the limb. I'm back.
Commander Riker could play jazz piano.
Jazz
piano?
That's
like one of my life dreams.
He loved jazz piano.
So can Clint Eastwood. Classical piano, any kind of piano. I would choose that every single time.
Dude, jazz piano.
It's very difficult.
Jazz all the way. Jazz
today I spent about 2 hours very slowly pounding out chords to a song on my piano in my room. Thank you to Cassie, who gave me a piano.
Oh, that's right.
How irresponsible of her.
Wait, do you have an actual piano or a keyboard?
It's a keyboard. It's a
big old fancy keyboard.
But it's an 88-key keyboard with a MIDI output. It's awesome.
MIDI.
It is beautiful.
I wish she had just, like, got you a piano and, like, actually hauled it up for you.
I would have called Tins.
That she would have deserved an even bigger shout out then.
Because I helped Tins with this piano. Tins does have a piano.
That's true. I have a real human upright piano in there.
Made with strings and mallets.
Yeah.
You know, D7, sometimes, you know, really powerful love can be scary.
Here we go.
But I feel like there's some other stuff that can be scary too. Yeah. So I was wondering from you, what's your biggest irrational fear, and also what's your biggest rational fear?
What scares the guest?
I think they kind of coincide.
Okay.
Hypodermic needles.
Hypodermic.
I have a rational fear of them because they're dangerous and they can dirty and cause you problems. But I can't even watch like videos of people getting like injections.
Well, that's weird because that's exactly what I'm looking up.
So you were you never a fan of like getting shots at the doctor?
That's I hate it.
Not even in that controlled environment.
So did you watch like Requiem for a Dream a million times?
Oh.
Or Pulp Fiction?
Oh, God.
I've actually never seen Pulp Fiction.
There's a scene you should not watch then.
What's the matter with you?
So watch all the other scenes when you watch it.
Dude, D7 hasn't seen a lot of things that people have seen, and he doesn't give a fuck, man. He, like, you do, like, as I, you know, I just recently moved in with D7. He and I live together now. And D7 is like, you strike me as a man who's like, it seems like you found inner peace. Like, it seems like you know what makes you happy. And this is something I really admire about you. Like, you figured out what makes you happy, and you just do shit, and then you don't worry about the shit that doesn't make you happy.
But D7, what makes you sad? That's what I want to know.
What makes me sad?
What makes you sad, D7?
I try not to be sad.
But what makes you sad?
We all get sad.
We all get sad sometimes.
I don't want to be sad.
Yeah, even the most chill of us.
What makes you sad?
Well, the same things that make everybody sad.
Bullshit.
Unfortunate events.
Really fucked up things make Castelvi sad.
Yeah, man. Fucking weird shit. Sometimes it's cool.
What makes you sad?
What makes me sad?
What makes you sad?
Oh, God.
Bats on fire.
Bats on fire. Sure.
That's so sad.
Sure.
Wait, you get sad?
Seeing a dog that's been hurt, and we're like, oh.
Something happened to the dogs will get me sad pretty quick.
So, yeah. You guys are both, like, really upbeat, though.
Who?
Both of you guys.
Since when?
Well, you Tommy's bitter all the time.
Dude, you're ruining his bad reputation.
Like, yes, but you also, like, got hit by a car yesterday, and, like, you're pretty upbeat about it. You're like, yeah, this happened, whatever, it's cool.
He threw me in the stove one time.
I think he's, like, an optimistic curmudgeon, is how I would describe him.
Everything's terrible, but tomorrow it might not be.
He's like the dad in Grumpy Old Men.
It's like, I better make the best of this shit.
Great.
I think a good show would probably be like D7 and Castelvi.
Oh yeah,
our co-astronauts.
I was very strong characters in the way that they exist.
Well, I was just the other day. Someone caught me doing this. It was about to rain, and I was going to ride my bike. And so this is all going in my head. And so then I just look up, and I'm like, "This is going to suck." And then like the person who I was with the time was like, "What?" I thought, and then I explained. I was like, "Oh, because it's gonna rain." It's like, "Oh, I thought you were just looking in the mirror and being like, oh, this life is gonna suck." And I wasn't too far off. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'd love to do a show with you, D7. That'd be great. I'm gonna start looking up titles now. D7.
Oh, can it be like a restaurant review show?
Wait,
oh my
you
god,
know,
yes.
I just realized.
My palate is very challenged. The D7, I imagine you have.
Some of us.
It would be very strong opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of us might. I don't even really remember the details. Why does everyone call you D7?
Oh, yeah, I actually don't know this.
I know why.
You want to tell Keith?
No, you tell it. You're the guest.
Oh, well.
Tell us the story.
Tell it as
the. Back when we were at ISU, my first semester there, it's my first time at Theater of Tech. And I got pulled up. Do you remember the Chad? When he would do his meet the Chad thing.
Yeah, Chad's guy, he'd talk. And
yeah, well, my first time.
Interview somebody.
He'd talk, it was great.
Yeah. He'd interview a random person from the audience.
Mm-hmm. Ask some questions.
His thing was he would just pull up someone from the audience and kind of ask some questions and meet a strange person. So my first time at Theater of Ted, I got pulled up to meet the Chad. And I was wearing a shirt from a play I did in high school. And the shirt was just a bright yellow shirt that said D7 really big on the front of it. And then I believe Keith was a little drunk and wouldn't let me say much else than D7.
I was probably pretty drunk.
No, we were very... Yeah, because we were drunk because we kept screaming it. Like,
yeah,
we were doing this interview.
I just wanted to support him. I liked him.
Because he had... If you can't... I mean, you can't see him at home, but D7, he's just got these long... You've got this really long hair, and he was in the circus at the time, and he just looks like a rad dude. And his name's D7, and we're wasted in college.
Well, we chose that his name should be D7.
If I recall, it's because you were wearing a D and a 7.
Because
in high school the previous year, he was in a production of...
It was a student-written play called Four of a Kind. It was like a Disney mashup.
Oh, Terry doesn't know what Theater of Ted is. What's Theater of Ted?
It's an open mic theater we had...
Every Saturday at midnight at ISU.
You go up. A lot of our shows probably are the way they are because we were kind of inspired by theater.
Yeah. But it's just an open mic night. Anybody can go sign up. You get like 5 minutes. You want to get 5 minutes. You can go as long as you want, but you should aim for 5 minutes.
You can go 45 minutes.
Everyone will be pissed at you, but they'll let you do it.
But you can, as long as you don't hurt yourself and you clean up after your act, you can do anything you want, you know?
I don't know if I should click on this thing.
So yeah, that's what...
So you're in production of Four of a Kind, which is obviously why your shirt said D7.
Oh, so I was Doc of the Seven Dwarfs. It's a Disney mashup.
Dwarf 7.
Well,
yes.
No, what it was is we originally, all of our costumes were just like a bright colored t-shirt, jeans, and an off-color hat. And we had shovels. And we were bored one day while they were doing some other scene, so we took Sharpies and wrote a D7 logo on all of our shovels. So we all had this matching thing. The director liked it so much that she put D7 on all of our shirts for us.
And then, do you remember the last question the Chad asked you? It's the same one from Inside the Actors Studio. He asked, he put D7 on the spot and asked if there's a God, and you know, if you go up to heaven, what do you think he'll say? Or what would you like to hear him say?
Mm-hmm.
And like D7 kind of paused for a moment. He just kind of sat there and thought. And so us, drunk in the eyes, just like, D7! God says D7! And then it just kind of stuck. Then after that, I didn't know your name for months.
You specifically told me you wanted to Facebook me, but you didn't know my name and you didn't want to ruin the illusion.
Yeah, so, I mean, his name's Jake, by the way. His name's Jake.
I sometimes forget who the fuck his name is.
Jacob Pfeiffer.
It was one of those
that name's fading away. Like I said, I recently moved in with Chris, and now that I'm moving in kind of more of this circle of people, I don't live with people who call me Jake anymore. Like, my old roommate would call me Jake, you know?
Nobody knows your name anymore.
Exactly. Like, I come home, everybody I live with knows me as D7.
Or everyone knows his new name.
That's the best thing.
It's like when I forgot Tins' first name. That one
time. I forget it sometimes.
But it's because it's such
Mark.
It's such a cool name.
Tins' first name.
I like to just reference D7 to coworkers and never explain them. Like, what happened? Be like, oh yeah, I was hanging out with my roommates, Billy and D7. And I just never explained.
Hang on.
What I like about the name D7 is it emphasizes that Jake is sometimes more than the normal man.
Seven times.
He can ride a unicycle. He has skydove. Is that a skydove?
Skydove.
Skydiving.
Like 80 plus times, right?
How many?
Like over 80 times, right?
Yeah.
What?
That's
where do you find the time, D7?
Jump out of plane.
Where do you find the plane?
This summer, D7? I've done ridiculously little skydiving.
Really?
How many times?
Is it money or?
This summer?
Wait, are you,
like three or four?
Are you doing this like with a guy, or are you doing this by yourself as well? Like, are you free?
Like, whatever? I mean, when you start out, you go by yourself a couple of times to get the hang of it, but eventually you're jumping with like two, three people, then like sometimes five or six people.
Sorry, are you attached to someone?
No. I did one tandem, but it wasn't very exciting.
So you have to, don't you like have to do a tandem first?
No, really? Common misconception.
Really? No shit?
He fell out of the sky attached to a man, and it wasn't that exciting. I would have exploded. I would kill myself, and all the way down, I would have screamed.
Okay, I mean, it was exciting. It was exciting. It just wasn't as exciting.
Was that your first one?
Yeah.
So you did the tandem.
That's a very good stone.
But you don't have to do that.
How do they... Here's my question.
I
guess my assumption is that you have to go tandem so that they, like, help you pull the parachute. When you go on your own, is there, like, an automated thing that does it for you the first time?
Okay, well, the tandem isn't really so much for them to help you. The tandem is more for people who want to fall out of a plane and have it more just as a one-time experience where you don't have to worry about, like, all the technical stuff. Mm. But you don't have to do that if you want to kind of get into the sport and do it for yourself. Mm. But your parachute, your whole rig does have a thing. It's called an automatic activation device that will deploy your parachute for you under a certain altitude above a certain velocity.
Oh, I see.
Whoa.
So, like, if you don't deploy your main parachute and you go, like, under 2,500 feet and you're going faster than a certain speed, it'll deploy your parachute for you.
That's awesome.
Wow.
21st century, baby.
How often do people just freak out and not do it?
Not very often.
Yeah, I feel like they probably jump like with their hand on
the ground. That's how I would jump.
How long? When can I pull it? When can I pull it?
Now.
Can I save my life yet?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's
right on your belly. Can I see if I need to start freaking the fuck out?
Well, the handle you pull to deploy is like right here on your belly.
Yeah.
And when you got a good 40 seconds where your hands can't be anywhere near it because you're trying to fly your body. I mean, it's not just like...
I'm just worried about... I'm just going to let my body tumble through the air.
Now, okay, question. So, I jump out of the plane, right? And I'm all freaking out. And I pull the cord immediately. Just like right out of the plane, I deploy that parachute. What happens to
you? You're dead.
Hopefully you had a second enough to clear the plane and the chute doesn't get, like, snagged in the plane. As long as that doesn't happen, you're going to have, like, a slow opening, maybe with, like, a little bit of line twist, but it's going to be fine.
Oh, so you...
And then,
yeah.
So is the main problem that you just kind of blow off course because you're just floating around for longer?
In my mind, on course is you're going to hit ground at some point.
Yeah, I would say there's really no course.
But, like, if you can imagine, like, a forest probably wouldn't be that comfortable to land in.
The ocean.
Or the ocean.
Pyramids.
So how many, from other people here, how many people a year do you think die from skydiving accidents?
Two.
93.
I know 93. The year that I really started getting into skydiving, that year we had four deaths.
Four deaths. Okay, four, two.
Ten.
And this is in the United States.
I will say eight.
They're like 93.
I know this year we had at least three already.
I think it's probably like two. Like, not that many people skydive.
I'm going to say 22.
I'm going to give D7 a little wiggle room. I'm going to go with six.
Okay. All right. So all of them are in. Out of, there are about 350,000 people who skydive each year, and they do about 3 million jumps typically a year. And of those people, approximately 30 people die a year.
No.
Whoa.
Roughly one person per 100,000 jumps.
That sounds way worse.
Is this according of howstuffworks.com?
Is that deaths and injuries, though?
This is deaths.
Actually, it's not. When you compare it to any other dangerous thing people do, that's a way smaller percentage of people that die.
And you have to figure a lot of that isn't just
100,000.
A lot of that
roller coasters in cars.
Well,
in
a lot of that can't just be random luck too. You have to assume some of those are just people not following instructions.
Yeah, most injuries and deaths are from people just being foolish.
Yeah, it's not like if a roller coaster flies off the rails and there's nothing you can do about that.
Well,
probably something
malfunction is a negligibly slim factor in that.
Put it into perspective, roughly 40,000 people die each year in traffic accidents. That's 1.7 deaths per 100 million vehicles vehicle miles. So like 1 in 6,000. So it's much more common to die in the car than it is.
40,000 traffic deaths a year, really?
40,000 per year. Mm-hmm.
Well, only the bravest among us actually jump out of airplanes. Like, you got to be pretty good.
Roller coasters only kill 4 people a year.
No kidding.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
How do they kill 4? Teensy roller coasters?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that makes sense then, that roller coasters are safer than jumping out of a plane.
You're strapped in.
There's engineers.
Dude, it's a down economy. Who has the money to go to Six Flags?
Dude, people do.
Dude, Six Flags has been lowering its... You show up at Six Flags, they'll give you a $10 bill as you walk in.
Yeah, just
it's
bring a Sprite can.
A lot of rednecks, believe it or not.
I don't know, man. Gravity is free.
I used to go once every year.
Me too.
To Six Flags Great America. Yeah. And I went like last year, and there's still... I worked on a Friday during the day. There was still a shit ton of people there. Yeah. Like, there's always going to be fucking people. And because they got the water slides, too.
That water park is fucking madness.
It's fucking crazy. There's a lot of scum.
They had a big... Did you guys hear about this? They had a big, I don't know what they're calling it, but it was like a Gays and Allies of Gays.
Yes.
Giant celebration. Apparently there were 50,000 people there.
Awesome.
To the point where Wrigleyville and Boys Town bar owners were furious that they lost like a Saturday's worth of business.
To Six Flags.
Because so many of their customers, you know, Gays and Gay supporters, were like all at Six Flags.
Can you imagine what that must have been like? That probably was like the awesomest day at Six Flags ever for those people.
Yeah. I bet it was fabulous.
Nice.
I'll accept it. Joke success.
That was a good joke. You know, I want to go back to something really quick. From the nicknames of D7's nickname, I had a very funny occurrence. I was in court today with Ethan Goldman. We were fighting the case of his wrongfully towed car.
It was towed after all?
It was.
I told him to look in the database.
No, he did. Whatever. So,
all right, Ethan.
So it was towed. But it was wrongfully towed. He shouldn't have been towed. But we fought about it. We fought against the judge, and I had to use my cell phone to show me texting Ethan about like what had happened. Those had timestamps.
So
he got a ticket, and then I removed the ticket and I put in the parking pass, and then I left the car. It was then a legal car. It didn't have any marking on it with the ticket or anything. So like that was a totally
so his car got a ticket, and then would they just like mark it for towing right away then? Or?
And the police officer summoned a tow truck.
Come on now,
they ticket you,
dude,
and they call a tow truck.
You know this street.
Dude, I
get
know.
Get the fucking riffraff out.
What's the end of the story then?
The end of the story is that I have to use my cell phone, and at one point, it has the text, BWO said, I should tell you to put the pass in the car. And I said, BWO said, I'm sorry, B-Wo is Brian Wall. He's my roommate. B-Wo.
Get to the point, Mr. Habersberger.
So you had to explain
it B-Wo. It felt like I was lying because I said, B-Wo said, B-Wo, it's Brian Wall.
Let it be known that the instance of B-Wo be stricken from the record.
I know who Brian Wall is. Don't patronize me, Mr. Habersberger.
Bring Brian Wall to the stand.
Excuse me, B-Wo.
He's not here. He's working.
My lord.
Oh, very convenient to be working at a time like this.
Why are there serfs in this corner?
Oh, B-Wo's like, yeah, that's crazy. Things. You had to explain B-Wo in court. Yeah. Well, that's hilarious.
It was so that was recorded for the records.
That's the
night. For the record, B-Wo stands for Brian Wall.
There goes every drug deal I've ever done in my life. Everyone's gonna know me.
Yeah,
I can't
sold out.
I can't remember the last time I called LP Matt. Do you remember? That's a weird situation.
Yeah, right? I don't think. Because I don't call you Matt.
It makes no sense to.
Yeah. I've sometimes used Matt Herzog when talking about the Matt Herzog family.
Yeah, well, when you're making fun of me primarily.
There are three Matts.
Yeah, I'll say, when I hear Matt, if it's any one of you three, I would think it would be LP. Who I hear Matt the most.
Yeah, I guess so.
When I say Tins in conversation, and people are like, Tins, his real name is Matt.
I just stopped explaining.
People think your name is Tins.
Yeah.
I understand.
My coworkers think your name is Tins.
Great. Why would anyone think my name is Tins? What a stupid goddamn name.
That's a great name.
No, my favorite is whenever you reference it, whenever you say I was hanging out with my buddy Tins, they go, you mean Tim.
I hate that.
And it's like, of course I didn't fucking accidentally say Tins when I meant his name is Tim.
I love it when, like B-Wo will introduce me to somebody and they'll say, hey, this is my buddy, Marshall. Marshall, this is Tins. And then B-Wo walks away and is like, hey, cool, great to meet you, Tim. I'm like, no,
it's Matt Herzog.
It's Tins.
That's how I developed saying to new people, it's not his Christian name. It's not his Christian name.
His name's Tins. His parents just named after the material the condom was made out of.
Tin condom.
King. Tin condom. What? Explain yourself, music.
I feel nothing.
This isn't pleasurable.
I feel agony.
I might be hurt by this.
If I only had a heart.
D7 has also eaten fire.
And lion.
We mean lion. Courtesy of...
We shouldn't talk about this. I found out that when I talked to him
eating fire is something that...
Actually, I looked it up recently, and it is legal to eat some kinds of lion.
Well, great, because that's the kind we ate.
But you're not supposed to get... I think we got it illegally.
Castelby!
Okay, no one needed to
he
know.
He told me we got it illegally.
I don't know. I didn't know.
He didn't know. It's true that he didn't know.
Don't ask questions.
There's also a chance that it could have been legal.
If someone's just asking you if you were eating lion, you just say, no, man... I was lying.
I gotta go, you guys. Thanks, everybody. Have 8 days.
I think he needs a punk crown for how shitty that was to live.
No, he rang in.
He used the same word in the setup and the punchline, and it was the central word of the
It's the yogurt. I can't control.
If this were wrestling, you would be booed out of the building. That's be booed out of the building.
You know,
is
wrestlers.
Is it because it's spooky? What?
Wrestlers have a lot of cool nicknames too, you guys.
Go on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the other part of this weekend show, Stone Cold Jane Austen.
Ah, yes.
What about it?
Do you guys have a favorite wrestler nickname? Like, not necessarily favorite wrestler, but just coolest or dumbest or whatever nickname.
Keith Hansen.
Oh, boy.
Love it.
A real wrestler?
I always liked... I just like the phrase Ultimate Warrior. I think it exudes a personality that you can't possibly match what Ultimate Warrior is supposed to sound like. Although I think the Ultimate Warrior nearly got there.
I'm trying to think. There's so many. The thing is, there's so many wrestlers with so many silly gimmicks. The Bushwhackers were fun. Dude Love. These are just some that's coming to mind.
I've always Isaac liked Yanko. The moniker, the Excellence of Execution.
That wasn't their name.
No, but it was like one of his taglines. And I thought that description of your, like, persona, I thought that was, like, the coolest thing ever. I'm like, this guy is the technical master. It made me immediately think that he was just, like, the best.
And also sounds like he's executing people.
Yeah. Well, that was his original nickname was The Hitman. So it was Brett the Hitman Hart, the Excellence of Execution.
I like the simple, like, one word, like... I like Undertaker. Santino, like just one word.
I don't watch wrestling, but if I had to pick one from like a movie, I would say Bonesaw from Spider-Man.
Bonesaw's pretty good.
Yeah. Bonesaw is an awesome gimmick.
Bonesaw!
Bonesaw's ready!
That was Randy the Macho Man.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Randy Savage.
You're going nowhere! Macho Man.
The Slim Jim, the rap star?
You know, my dad does not like wrestling now, but when he was a kid, he used to watch wrestling, and every once in a while, he'll talk about his favorite wrestler as a child, Moose Cholak, whose gag was like something with moose horns,
you know,
I believe.
We should look him up on YouTube. I bet we can find some old Moose Cholak. Because Moose Cholak used to fight.
He was like in the Minnesota League or something. Yeah,
AWA. That's Vern Gagne's league. That's where Hulk Hogan came.
Oh, I was getting there.
And Haystacks Calhoun. That was like Moose Cholak's.
Yeah, his like enemy.
I found you can get lion meat legally in America, in the United States.
Oh yeah, this has been established. It's on Twitter.
You can get you can also get alpaca burgers, quail eggs, kangaroo pepperoni, reindeer. Roast.
Hang on.
Kangaroni.
I'm sorry. We got it.
Now the registered. General.
Apparently. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah, and lion steaks. Lion steaks are $60 for eight ounce or something.
Damn.
Yeah, reindeer is $100 per pound.
Dude, what's the magic in that meat?
That's right. I get it.
They're not that rare.
No, you're right, Kins. You're right. I'm agreeing with you.
Dude, reindeer are huge. Reindeer's worth of meat is worth a couple grand?
You guys,
like $5,000?
D7 and I just worked this out. We're going to have a giant reindeer feast in December. We're going to call it the Reindeer Sleigh.
Where are you getting these prices for lion meat?
This is for the Paris. This is a meat
market.
This has become a poacher meeting.
Yeah, this is the meat market in Paris, California, Perris. And these are just some of their prices.
That price for lion was ridiculous. So I'm assuming
you just steal one.
I imagine.
I'm checking my guy.
When you got mob connections,
Hey, hello. Hey, Knifey Rick.
Yo, this lion fell off a truck, so you got it.
I don't know, guys. I hate going to D7's guy, because, like, you got to sit with him, and he's going to make you eat a little bit of the lion. He's, like, his newest lion.
Come on, you want to eat a little lion and hang out?
But, like, you have shit to do, and he's not even that
just
cool.
Just a paw.
But also, it's good lion.
I know, it's hard.
Lion.
So you just and you don't want to piss the guy off.
Lion's good. My guy's got yak right now. You guys want to get some yak?
Yeah.
No. See, that's the thing. I imagine if you were actually a person who lived like when you were a caveman and you actually had to kill a lion, like you actually had to defeat the lion to be able to feast upon a lion.
But it's not very good meat to feast upon.
But you take what you can get.
Yeah, but it's good meat if you slaughtered it yourself and you can feel the satisfaction of you had
Stealthy,
to fight
name a better tasting cat.
Any fucking lion.
Name
get
a better tasting
right
cat.
Now. Regular cat.
No, I think Chris is right. I feel...
That poor lion.
What? What's up? Were you worried about the lion now, Cloud? Is that the deal? It would kill you without even thinking. You'd be like, it's like, that's what it's
the
doing.
The lions, I feel like they're more close to extinction, certain kinds.
Yeah. Well, yes!
They're fine! They're not in danger. Lions are not in danger.
An exotic meat market right here.
This is in Chicago, I'm looking them.
Just how many people a year die from lions?
Ooh, I'm already on. Right, can you take tackle the exotic meat market?
So exotic meat market. It says that they're not extinct in or endangered in America, and all the lions that are sold in America are raised in America.
Well, of course they're not endangered. They don't live in America.
Yeah, they're not from here.
Like, fucking, the dodo's not endangered in America.
Wait, we have, do we have...
When you say, I know!
When you say raised in America, do you mean, like, we have lion farms somewhere that are intended for slaughter?
You know, you steal them from a zoo. You can eat them.
Or the Rainforest Cafe.
Ultra shady to me.
I don't like.
You know how many excess lion zoos have every year, Cloud? They can't get rid of the damn thing.
Cats are always fucking having kittens.
They just can't stop.
How many? Wait. How many lions are in like a litter? Do you think? Do like lions? Lions give birth to like just 11 lions?
It's like two lions or three are lions. Part of a gaggle. They're a gaggle of
them. It cannot possibly be true.
There's not a murder of lions.
It's not a litter either. Like, house cats have so many goddamn cats. Like, how do, like, and those other animals that lions, have litters of babies?
They're just cats. They're just cats.
It's fucking nuts.
You mean, yeah.
They're big jungle cats. That's it.
It's weird. I'm trying to find death by lions. I know that lions live 14 years, but that doesn't help me now.
But then, like, okay, so say the lion dies, then you, like, freeze the meat, but then, like, I feel like the meat won't last that long.
If you freeze it?
If you freeze it properly, like, you know, wild game meats people will know how to do, it'll...
How do you know people are going to buy that lion meat?
Oh, they'll buy it. D7 bought it.
Yeah, I bought it.
See, poachers are like, I've never seen a movie where the poacher was a good guy. They're always, they're just go-to evil people.
Bad guys.
Because poaching is...
I feel like, I haven't seen a lot of poaching... A lot of poaching villains lately, but like Captain Planet and Fern Gully,
Jumanji.
And like and Jumanji. There's a ton of evil poachers when we were kids.
Oh no,
they're not good guys.
I only have mountain lion deaths. Oh. I have African lion deaths.
Well, how many mountain lions kill people? I guess
2 per year. I wouldn't know. It's 10 to 25 for African lions, but I don't know how reputable that statistic is.
Hey, Castelvi, guess what?
What's that, man?
A birthing of baby lions is called a litter.
Oh wow! Not a gaggle.
No, I was right. Also, the average litter size is 2, which is not nearly as exciting. But 2 lions coming out of a lion vagina is still pretty terrifying.
How do we have to mention the vagina? We all
they
know.
They don't just like there. Come out at the same time.
You want to talk about their dick barbs?
They pounce. They leap out of it.
They do have the dick barbs.
They do have dick barbs.
Oh shit!
Well, I guess we don't need to talk.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
Lion's prey is often killed by strangulation. I did not know that.
Well, it's because they break their neck, I believe. It's like, can't breathe.
Because then they're just lying there.
I want to give it to him.
I think we should. I think we have to.
It's the exact same pun as earlier.
But this time it would work.
This time it worked.
I forgot about it, I suppose.
I would also like to point out.
Yeah, where's the crown? I was floating around here somewhere.
I was playing with it over there.
If you...
The broken crown.
No, it's an old broken crown.
I think that's about what he deserves for right now. I'd also like to point out, if you find yourself... if you find your mate has a barb on his penis, what a great time for a tin condom.
Oh, wow.
Keep it safe. Keep it secret. Tin condom.
That was just a joke, though.
Yeah.
That was good.
Lauren would have given that
whoever
the punk
nickname is. She thinks gaggle's better. I agree.
What is a gaggle? Gaggle's
a gaggle of
geese. 7.
And then a crow.
Oh, and they're talking about
in
the chat room. We're talking about Snoop Lion because Snoop Dogg changed his name to Lion.
That is one form of lion.
That's just
how many deaths or how many Snoop Lion deaths are there?
At least one.
Wait, when did this happen? Just like it's still
Snoop, in that changed his name to Snoop Lion a little while ago.
Is it still that way?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It pretty
yeah.
much just happened.
Wow.
Yeah, he does like reggae music. Man.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
For reals.
He's totally
if
changed.
If I can expect you all to call me D7, I'll call him Snoop Lion.
Yeah, dude, he's
like a total piece of shit. That's what we were all saying.
I love Snoop Dogg.
Oh,
you can do whatever the fuck you want.
He's got a documentary coming out about it. Or maybe it's out already. I don't fucking know.
It's coming out soon.
I love him because he's getting so old now. He's starting to like really age even in
He looks good though.
No,
he's like an old guy. But he
was
looks
he was
good.
In a music video with Kid Cudi and he, his dance, and he just looked way out of place. He looked
you know
really old.
Soon enough he's gonna be old enough where he's gonna have to retire, and the only grass he's gonna be familiar with is on the golf course.
Where are you going with this? I don't understand this.
You know where the fuck I'm going with this, Castelvi?
What's that, then?
I'm going straight over to
Cloud's Golf Tips.
Par the course.
Make your hair extra frizzy and ruffled in the morning so that people will mistake you for a lion and run away. Course is all yourself.
This has been
Cloud's Golf Tips. I guess we scrapped that weather.
I know, I was ready.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah,
next time.
I was
so ready.
Next time.
I didn't even accept the correlation between Cloud's name being Cloud and weather.
Oh my gosh, I was born weather person.
No, because I mean, last time it went terrible.
Yeah, no, it didn't make any sense. Very accurate.
It was
Mr.
complete, it's complete gibberish. It was pure gibberish.
Yeah, well, let's hear that too.
You know, folks, I didn't go to the page, so I'm terribly unprepared for this.
I'm ready for it.
We are recording this podcast live on Monday, September 10th, which means if you're not watching it, if you're not watching it live, you can turn on your TV and go to the iTunes channel, or go to octavarius.com on your TVs, or now get it through Stitcher, channel Stitcher. Anyway, you'll be able to get those, get the pre-recorded version on Friday. That'll be September 14th, which means if you're listening to it as it's coming out, we have some very special birthdays to announce.
Happy birthday, Tyler Perry, 42 years old.
Happy birthday, Sam Neill.
Oh, yes,
I knew you would.
Happy birthday, Amy Winehouse.
She's dead.
Oh, God. Still her birthday. It's still her birthday.
Still dead.
The day of her birth. Oh,
not really. It was a couple of years ago, man. You know.
Look, man, where she's going, she doesn't need eyes.
Why'd Sam you do that? Right. Why'd you go into Sam? That?
happy birthday. Did I hear a whispering of a Sam Neill?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sam.
Happy birthday again from Octavarius.
We love you, Sam.
We really love you.
Good work in Event Horizon and maybe other movies.
You were in Jurassic Park, man.
Sure, probably.
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll check out.
Third October. No, we know, though. He was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, until proven guilty.
He was
Jurassic
the lead,
Park
though.
3. Congo.
This has been Jurassic Parkument.
You know, folks,
I'm
not going to accept that. Parkument?
Parkument.
I want Nick to have to live up to that next Sunday.
Oh, boy. We're having a lot of fun here
with
these celebrity birthdays.
Sure do.
But I hate to have to inform everybody of this, but we do have some somber news for, for every...
Keep together, man.
So sad.
For every time there is a birthday, somebody must die. Okay, I'll rephrase that. For every time someone is born, someone must die.
This fucking bitch.
Zero birthday.
Either way.
It's not every time somebody has a birthday, somebody else in the world has a stroke.
Although,
holy shit.
Although.
Not, well...
I can't say I'm wrong.
But anyway, that's the rule.
I got a couple ones here.
So unfortunately, we have to extend our condolences to the family, friends, and fans of Grace Kelly. I'm sorry
and
for your loss.
To the remaining family of Patrick Swayze, our condolences.
Indeed, take that one. And, of course, to the family of Aaron Burr. Fuck you, dude. Alexander Hamilton.
But maybe Alexander Hamilton was an asshole, okay?
I'd say certainly Alexander Hamilton was an asshole.
But it doesn't mean you just shoot him.
No, that's also true.
Also, to the family and friends of President McKinley. Sorry, dude.
You were
yeah, man,
sort of racist.
Sucks, man.
Crack a bottle for McKinley. Anyway, I think that about concludes that segment for today. So we're actually almost out of time, but before we go, I want to first of all thank our guest D7 for sticking around in the podcast. Thank you so much for your enlightening knowledge on a number of topics, which is I always love talking to you for your knowledge of things I would never guess you would know, but you know a ton about.
Took us some new dark places.
And he took us for a ride, man.
And he got us high on the airplane.
And this Sunday, be sure to check us out at Comedy Sports for our show, Stone Cold Jane Austen. You heard that absolutely correctly. And that's going to be at Comedy Sports. That's 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois, at 7 p.m. And it's every Sunday at 7 p.m. at Comedy Sports. As always, a new show every week. So thank you for coming out for any of the shows. We've been doing this a couple months now in our open run, and it's always awesome to see new faces. So thanks, as always.
Still hilarious.
And as always, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Octavarius. And oh boy, look at the time. We got to get out of here, you guys.
Let's leave.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't we have to hear from one more political pundit?
Oh, there's no. There's no time.
No one can see that you're giving the finger, the double middle finger.
As a Makula to LP. Middle
What's
finger.
On that screen?
Anyway, it's before we go, it's Don't time it. For Nick Makula's
seven words of wisdom.
You can't use hypodermic needles, you cheetah.
This has been Nick Makula's seven words of wisdom. Complete success.
And it's hard because I assume, what you don't know at home, LP was trying to show Makula, I assume, a picture of a spider.
A hideous spider.
Can I see the picture of the hideous spider?
I already got rid of it.
I assumed it was an octopus drowning.
You just Google image searched hideous spider.
Anyway, folks, that is going to do it for us.
We did it.
Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week.
Oh, wait, there's a show. We have a show tonight, the Crocodile Lounge.
Oh, thank God. Yes, tonight.
Oh, God, it's horrifying.
Friday, Friday, September 14th, and that is at, what time, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. It's the Show Below 3-year anniversary special at Crocodile.
At the Crocodile.
Right in the heart of Wicker Park. It's a real fun venue.
Free
we love
pizza
playing.
With a drink.
Free pizza with every drink.
That's right.
So be sure to come out to that. And with that, finally, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
We cannot validate the truth of the Sam Neill and Jurassic Park information in this podcast.
Yeah, but it was, though.
So run for your life. Until we actually check it out.
You're
with
running
the
out of time. All right, we'll leave it up.
Lock the door.
He's coming back for more.